Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate what I feel tonight, don't you? I believe the reason we're feeling what we're feeling is because just what they were singing about, Jesus is King tonight. And I'm glad He's in control and He's in the midst. Isn't that right? I'm glad for the Holy Ghost that we felt already here. There's no reason in the world why some young person can't get what they need before they leave this building tonight. Because I believe the Lord's here to help us. I believe there's a lot of preachers and parents and pastors here that want to see somebody get help. If we'll all get in here together, I'll just tell you up front, the preaching isn't going to be that good. So we might as well just say amen. If you get to feeling sorry for me enough, just say amen and anoint Him, Jesus, and we'll get through it after a while and pray that the Holy Ghost will just fall in this altar and give us a Pentecostal time around here. And the fire of God will fall and somebody will get through tonight and get what they need. Praise the Lord. We're glad to be here. Glad to see all of you. And just appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Glad for youth rally. Glad for youth services. And let's just let the Lord have His way. I want to read tonight from the book of Acts. If you have your Bible with you, the book of Acts, chapter number 2 is where I want to read from. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. I want to start reading in verse number 1, read just a few verses here. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 1. If you have it, say amen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Notice what it says here, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One man said, the book of Acts is a burning book. There are no cold patches from beginning to end. It burns from Acts chapter number 1, and the flame is still burning at the last words, at the closing of the Acts of the Apostles. And I know that we call it the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Apostles and through those willing vessels. We know that they're in this upper room and they're gathered together there because they've received a command, they've received a commission, and they're waiting on the promise of Pentecost that the Lord said would come. And they're all gathered together in that place. And these disciples had a fire placed in the depths of their heart that illuminated their path, that pressed them forward in the face of all the opposition that came against the early church. My friends, tonight there was a fire that was burning in the depths of their soul that made a way when there was no way and gave them direction in the darkest night. And when all of hell came against them, all of heaven was standing beside them and gave them the victory and the ability to see a move of God. And I know that all of hell may be against us tonight, but my friend, that's really not much when you look and know that all of heaven is standing for us, and God is with us, and God is greater than the grimness of the hour. And the fire still makes a difference in 2009. And all this burning fire that God gave them, it was a God-given fire. Just like a fire burning in the boiler of a great ocean liner, it causes that vessel to propel through stormy waters. God gave them a fire, and it propelled them through stormy waters. And brother, I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost that's still burning bright in the midst of the church tonight. I believe that there's enough fire of God right here in King Mountain tonight for some young person to be filled with the Holy Ghost and have a new determination that I can hold on to heaven with all of hell on my back. For greater is He that's within us. Hey, the fire of God is still within us. And God is still for us. Do you believe it tonight? Do you believe that God still has a fire that illuminates in this dark hour? And brother, the Bible says there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And they set upon each of them, everyone in the house, the fire sat on them. That word cloven literally means to distribute. That fire was distributed, given, placed upon everybody that was in that house. It sat upon each individual. It sat upon the disciples. It sat upon everyone, that 120. It was not just a singular fire that they could all behold, but it was a distributed fire that God had promised to every one of them. And I still believe in that blessing tonight, that there is a fire for everyone in this house. There is a fire for every young person in this house. There is a blessing from God for every individual. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks or what part of town or what your pedigree is. My friend, there's a heaven sent blessing. There's an ever descending fire, and God has it for everyone in the house. It was distributed to 120. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me for just a little bit, on there's a flame with your name. There's a flame with your name. And all that fire that fell is the same fire that falls. And that fire tonight is to be a perpetual fire, a continuous fire. An ever-burning fire, this Pentecostal fire, this great symbol of God's presence in our midst is to never go out. It is to be a perpetual fire. Leviticus 6 and 13 said, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And my friends, tonight it is the responsibility of everyone in this building. We may not have started the fire, but we are keepers of that fire. And it is our responsibility. It is our duty of our generation to make sure that the fire of God is burning in this hour. God said, I'm going to give you a heavenly visitation for a time of great difficulty. But He says one thing, don't let it ever go out. Let the fire be burning in this dark hour. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, it was a time of spiritual darkness. It was a time of selfishness and sinfulness. Much like it is in this hour, the Bible says the word of God was precious in those days. Eli was laid down to sleep. His eyes were dim. Sin was rampant. Darkness had veiled the hearts of men. But oh, the Bible says an heir. That word heir means before the lamp of God went out in the temple where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. That fire was to be lit. That fire was to be maintained. And that fire was to ever be burning. But that fire began to grow dim, and it began to grow dark in the temple. But my friend, before God allowed the fire to go out, He called to Samuel, and He beckoned a young man to rise to the occasion. Even though it was a dark hour, it was a call of God that penetrated and pierced the darkness of men's heart. And God said, I'm looking for somebody that'll keep the fire burning, and it may be a remember reading back in the 1700s, there was a family that had moved and settled in the Carolinas. And they built a cabin, had a homestead, had a fireplace, and that fire was just a source of life. They used that fire for everything. And they always kept that fire burning. The man that originally started that fire kept it burning. His children always kept it burning. It burned throughout that family, throughout the generations. And finally, the fire was going to be allowed to go out. And people began to sign petitions in those mountains, smoky mountains, that they wouldn't let the fire go out. They began to go door to door and house to house. Because that fire had burned so long, they didn't want to see the fires die in those mountains. And Brother Horton, they began to get opinion of those that were around. What should we do about the fire? And finally, they had such a strong outcry from the people in that area that the Parks and Recreations Department in those mountains took up the task of keeping that fire burning. And my friend, tonight, just like that fire is burning, it burned from the 1700s, and it's burning somewhere in the mountains of the Carolinas here while we're having a youth rally. But oh, my friend, just like in the mountains, there may be a fire that was started by a man, but right here in these mountains tonight, there is a fire that was started by God. And I want to know, does anybody want to see the fire keep burning? Does anybody want to see the glory of God burning in this hour? Elijah said, let the God that be God answer by fire. Young people, that's the answer that we need in this generation. It's the fire of God. Oh, hallelujah to God. It was a fire that was to be perpetual. It was a fire that would be purposeful. God wants to do more, young person, than for you just to exist. He wants you to have an experience. Any of us can come to a youth rally and just exist and just be here. Oh, but there is an experience of God that will cure instability. I remember reading, you've read it too, we've all heard it preached about, how Simon Peter stood at the fires of the enemy and warmed himself as Jesus was preparing to be crucified. Peter had turned his back on the Lord and stood beside those fires that were carnal and worldly and earthly because he was not willing to stand up for the right and stand up for God. And young person, tonight there is a fire that will destroy you. There is a fire in this world that will consume you. It will destroy you. And it will eliminate all that God has plans for you and all that God could ever do. And my friend Peter stood beside the wrong fire. I wonder, is there anybody that you're standing around the wrong fire in this house tonight? That fire made him a curser. That fire made him a liar. That fire made him a betrayer. That fire made him reject the only one that had ever touched him and made a difference in his life. And young person, that fire of this world will make a liar out of you. It'll make a cheater out of you. It'll make a hater out of you. It'll make a cusser out of you. My friend, it'll take you from a church pew and take you where you thought you'd never go. And you'll wake up one day and wonder, how in the world did I ever get here? How in the world did it ever go so wrong when everything's falling apart and everything's going bad? And you're looking up and all
you can see are the eyes of the devil beaming down on you. But my friend, he didn't stop there. He got away from that fire, and he got in the upper room, and he got a dose of the fire and turned him around and made a man of God out of him and gave him purpose and gave him meaning and gave him determination. Stood around that fire and he denied the Lord. But after he come from Pentecost, he went to Cornelius' house and he began to preach the gospel, and the Holy Ghost fell. God has a plan for your life. God has something that he wants to do for your life, and the fire can make the difference. Well, you don't know how hard it's been. And you don't know my situation. And you don't know my parents. And you don't know my home life. And you don't know how hard it is at school. And you don't know how bad it is in the world. Well, I may not be walking in your shoes tonight, but I know there's a Holy Ghost. And I know there's a fire that can make the difference. Because I'm married to a woman, a good wholeness woman, lived for God before she ever met me. When you go to looking for a companion, you better make sure they're living for God before you ever come around. Because if you think you're going to change them, turn them around, make them into a different person, my friend, you got a rude awakening coming. If they didn't want Jesus before you got there, my friend, you ain't got enough power in God to make them want Jesus after you got there. If wholeness preaching can't do it, if the anointing of God can't do it, if youth rally can't do it, oh, you might as well help me here. Oh, you might as well say, man, I said, if that can't do it, nobody can do it. But you make sure that whoever you find has been in a place where the fire of the Holy Ghost is consuming their life.
Woo! I remember my wife. I didn't know her until just a little while before we got married. She told me, Brother Randy, her parents weren't saved. Her daddy was an alcoholic. Her mother was a backslider. Television's all in the house. Cursing. Alcohol in the refrigerator. Smoke filled every room. She said, I was so embarrassed. I'd go to church and I'd smell like smoke and embarrass me. See, I'd try just to get ready at the last minute, run out the door when her parents wouldn't take her when she didn't have a driver's license. Or a heathen sister would take the car. She'd get on the phone and call people to take her to the house of God. I'm not talking about camp meeting, Brother Randy. I'm talking about Wednesday night prayer meeting. Get on the telephone. You mean somebody's got a desire to go to church on a Wednesday night? Hey, somebody got a desire when the world's going to hell tonight in the flames of sin? Is there some young person that wants to walk into the flames of Pentecost and be consumed by an ever-living God that'll make a difference? She calls some people and say, can you come get me? I don't have time tonight. I can't come get you tonight. So she'd kick up the phone, call somebody else. Till somebody said, okay, we'll be by there to get you. We'll take you to church. Brother Gary Edenfield was in revival at their church. She was wanting the Holy Ghost. She was seeking the Holy Ghost. She didn't have no raising, like I said, Pentecostal holiness standards taught to her. Holy Ghost spoke to her in the altar, said, you quit cutting your hair, and I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. She said, okay, God, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want. Just give me the Holy Ghost. And when she surrendered all, my friend, she walked out of the hands of a world that tried to crush her. And she walked into the hands of God that would caress her and make a way when the world said it's a dead end. And God said there's no limitation to what I can do. And Brother Randy, that lot of nights, she went home and
said she might have had to walk in there and hear cursing by herself and hear swearing and drinking and all the carrying on. But that night, after heaven came down, she had a friend that would take her by the hand and say, tonight, you're not going home by yourself. I'm going to go home with you. I'm going to stand beside you. I'm going to shield you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to make a way for you. I said, the Holy Ghost is more than a shout. It's a force that is unstoppable, irresistible, and he'll crush every device of hell. Moses saw a burning bush, and it wasn't consumed. And God said, Moses, that's what I can do with you. He said, I am come down to deliver. And then he said, come, I'll send you. Young person, God's come down to deliver you, and he can send you to make a difference. My situation was kind of the same. Can I just preach my heart? How long have I been preaching? I'm not long-winded. That's one consolation. I remember my dad, too, was an alcoholic. Still is. Went through alcohol recovery, I don't know. Went somewhere upstate. Locked him up for several days. Tried to get him off alcohol. Some kind of rehab. Came back. He went to AA for a while, and he said, I quit AA. He said, every time I went in there, all they wanted to tell me was I was a drunk. I'm always going to be a drunk. And I had to be a drunk, but I just couldn't drink. Now you figure that one out. They come to Jesus. They're not drunks no more. And they don't drink no more. Hallelujah to God. Brother Randy, he said, I quit that. He said, and he tried pretty good for a while, and he probably went 6-8 months, and before he went in there, he's at the point of suicide, and he left, my mother left us by ourselves. But I remember Brother Horton, when Daddy wasn't there, and Mom would take us around. She had a job with a finance company, Brother Randy, and days after school, she'd have to ride around the bad part of town, knock on doors. She'd say, you boys sit in the car, lock the door till I get back. She'd go knock on doors and ask people, deadbeats, and people that wouldn't work to pay their debts and pay their bills. And Mom did that, and we could have a roof over our head and food to eat. And I remember a lot of nights, my mom would be in there in the bedroom, and it may have been dark, but I heard her speaking in another tongue, and I knew heaven was coming down, and God would make a way. I said, Mom, what is that? What are you saying? She has raised old time Church of God. She said, Matt, that's the Holy Ghost. I said, how you get it, Mom? She said, you just ask. God will give you the Holy Ghost. I remember before my parents split up, I'm trying to preach to some young person that says, I can't make it. It's not for me. It's for Brother Horton. It's for Brother Ward. It's for Brother Shannon. It's for Brother Webb. But it ain't for me. But there's a flame with your name. There's a place that nobody else can feel but the size shoe that God gave you. And you can feel it. And you can make up the hedge. And you can stand in the gap. I remember one time, that little old house where we were living, I was just a little boy, and I hope you don't fall out with me. I was ignorant. My daddy was sitting on the porch, and I'm closing here. If somebody wants to be thinking about a song, I'm closing pretty quick. He was sitting on the porch, and he was drinking a Budweiser beer in a can. I remember it was a red and white can. He's sitting there on the porch. I was playing around in the yard. And I remember going up to him, and he was my daddy, supposed to be my hero. Sometimes young people, heroes aren't what you thought they'd be. But Jesus is a hero that'll never let you down. And I remember going over there and saying, Dad, can I have a drink of that? You know, I thought if Dad's drinking it, it must be all right. And in his ignorance and in him just trying to probably just make a sick joke, because he probably knew I wouldn't like the taste of it. But Randy, he gave me that can. I remember taking a drink, and I remember tasting that bitterness. And I thought, why in the world would anybody want to put this in their mouth? But I thought, if Dad did, maybe that's the thing that you're supposed to do. But I remember growing up, and I remember coming to a crossroad in my teenage years. And I remember knowing there was a right way, and there was a wrong way. There was Dad's way, it was the wrong way, and there was God's way. And I remember in an altar not much different than this right here, when the fire of God came down and touched me and baptized me with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't many years after that, days after that, God called me to preach. And I wondered about that sometimes, and sometimes I still do. But he gave me a good holiness wife, and we've been running up down the highways trying to see a fire of God for about 9 years now. Has it always been easy? No. Has it always been sweet roads? No. Has God always been there? Yes, yes, yes. And God will always be there. We've been married about 7 or 8 years. The doctor told us it's an impossibility for us to have children. And young person, there's things in your life tonight that may look like impossibilities, but they'll be possibilities if you'll put God in the equation. And God gave us a son, but the doctor said we'd never have. The doctor that told us, I sat at his desk, Brother Horton, and he said, you need to think about adoption. You need to think about other things. And he was a Christian man. He said he was. He said, I'm sorry, there's just nothing can be done. But the first person to ever hold my son this side of glory was the doctor that said it's an impossibility for us to have children. He looked at me, he said, Dad, Mom, here's your miracle. And I looked in the eyes of that blue-eyed miracle, Brother Ward, and I looked, and I know they were just little blue eyes, but I've seen oceans and oceans of God's grace. I've seen oceans and oceans of God's miracle power in the eyes of a blue-eyed miracle. And I don't know, he's about 19 months now, and he's got a lot of miles on him yet. He's been traveling all around, and thank God he ain't had a transmission go out yet on him. We ain't had to change the oil yet on him. He's got a lot of miles on him. We've taken him to Bristow. They let me preach on Monday night at Bristow, Brother Randy. You're supposed to be there. He was just about ready to come in this world. We've been to a lot of places. We've been to camp meetings. We've been preachers' meetings. He's been in a lot of youth rallies. He's been in a lot of preachers' homes and sat on a lot of preachers' knees and heard a lot of preaching and singing and felt a lot of good Holy Ghost power. And I'm just hoping if he'll keep holding to Daddy's hand and we'll keep going to these meetings and preaching this gospel and doing our best for the Lord. Just like me when I was just a boy, walked up to my daddy holding the wine of this world, wanting to drink of what he had. Oh, Brother Ward, I believe if I'll just be faithful to God, Brother Randy, there's going to be a time when my boy gets big enough, he's going to look at me and say, Dad, I'd like to get a drink of what you got. I'd like to get a drink of that Holy Ghost power, of that anointing of God, of that sweet spirit that I feel in my soul. And hey, young person, there's something that God, he'll break every fetter, he'll destroy every yoke, he'll crush every barrier, and he'll make a way.
Somebody come give me a song, please. Last year, they christened, I believe it was in New Orleans, they christened a new ship in our Navy called the USS New York. It was a Navy vessel that was to be in combat in the war on terror and any other kind of conflict that comes our way. And the captain of that vessel said, we'll follow Osama bin Laden until the day he dies. We're on his track. But the reason they said that, Brother Ward, because a good majority of the steel that was in that vessel came from the steel from the World Trade Center. After those planes had wrecked, ravaged, burned to the ground our World Trade Center, they salvaged all of that steel they could, took it to a facility, heated it up with hot fire, burned it down, took out the impurities, and molded it and made it into a fighting vessel. And they took something that the enemy had made into a failure. The World Trade Center looked like a failure, looked like a heartbreak, looked like it was going down in smoke. But they took it, and through the fire and through the process and through the molding, they took a failure and made a fighter. And that's what the Holy Ghost fire will do for you. He can take a failure and make a fighter. Would you lift your hands, stand all across the building, lift your hands and ask the Holy Ghost to touch some young person? Now, I believe that this is the most important part of the service right now. I believe tonight there's some young person, you're weighed in the balance. You're wondering what God has. You're wondering if you can make it. You're wondering if you can do it. And I know we got things planned, and I know we got things to do. And pizza and ball is a strong pull right now. But I hope we can take just a little bit. And I hope some young person can get in a place where the fire of God can fall in your life and make a difference beyond compare. I'd like to see the Lord do something in your life, young person, that when you leave this place tonight, you're unrecognizable. You're so changed, transformed, committed, and determined. I hope your worldly friends look at you and wonder what's happened. I hope your church friends can look at you and wonder what's happened. Because the fire can reshape and remake into a vessel of honor meet for the Master's use. I want to do it just like this. I wonder how many young people tonight would say, Brother Matt, I want to come to this altar and lift my hands, and I want God to send the fire to my life and change me. Lift your hands and ask the Lord to give us liberty in this altar service. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, God. What about it, young person? I want God to change me. I need God to make me. I need God to consume me. I need God to fill me. I need God to refill me. I want you to come right now. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we'll make it easy on you. I pray every ball over there is flat if you don't step out and pray right now. I hope it's the worst tasting pizza you ever put in your mouth if you disobey God right now. I hope they burn the pepperoni and the sauce is spoiled. And the ball's flat, and your shot is off if you disobey God right now. Well, preacher, that's serious. I know it's serious. I've been a teenager before. I know about the most serious thing if you can hit that jump shot. But, I believe the most serious thing that could happen right now is not if that boy's looking your way or that girl's looking in your direction. But the most important thing is you realize that hell's looking your way and heaven's trying to get your attention and make a difference in your life. Step out right now in the name of Jesus. I want every young person under the age of 21 to step out right now and come up here and stand.
We all need revival. And young person, we all need a refilling. And we all need the power of God. And I need a drummer. I need a bass player. I got a singer and a piano player. But I tell you what we need to do. We need to crank it up here and begin to worship God and get in a place where the glory of God can fall and somebody can see the Lord.